Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Real spoilers powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 537, Cats.
I hate all of you. Like, I cannot...
And you, by that, you mean the listeners that requested it, the hundreds of...
Yeah.
What a lot of people don't know is that Joe has a cat allergy.
I actually do.
And so he had to take a lot of Benadryl to sit through this movie.
I think I've got a cat allergy after watching this movie.
Unironically.
Sure. Yes.
Yeah.
The best way to save yourself from this movie?
Don't go.
Laser pointer.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
It was like, meow.
Because completely screwed up the entire movie. Yeah. Just a little laser pointer. So I guess let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Quick shameless plugs. Don't forget, we're available on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever you get your podcasts, you can find us. While you're there, subscribe so you never miss an episode. And of course, you can rate and review us there or on Facebook, facebook.com/realspoilers. While you're there, you like the page, you join the group so you can stay up to date, and it's easier to chat back and forth in the group. Your things won't get lost to the ether. Yes. And of course, our Patreon, patreon.com/realspoilers. $5 a month, you get all sorts of bonus content. And of course, you can join the League of Show Sharers by sharing an episode. People who were kind enough to share an episode this week: Librarian Cynthia, Brad Hyan, Linnea Thunsell, Douglas Bolduc, Tammy Sherman Powers, Laura Conley Quiddick, Travis Tewitt, Susan Carlson, Aaron Marlowe, Chris Magic Man, Gabriel Lugo, Carl Clarkson, Jason Weese, Ralph Tribble, Chris Williams, Chris Sanders, no relation, Timmy Tuzoons, Julianne Jordan, Colby Mack, Tom Comiskey, Lane Levanway, and Brent Smith. So thank you very much, guys, for sharing the show. We greatly appreciate it.
You're welcome.
How'd they all listen, and why do they sound like Mickey Mouse? So,
What happened here?
I don't know.
Well, we should educate Joe and maybe the audience that isn't familiar with Cats in the first place.
Well, I know about Cats. I know that it, I mean, I know the Broadway, I know it was like the second or fifth we went through this last episode, but.
Well, right. I mean, I know you know what it is. What I'm saying is maybe we should tell people, first of all, Cats is not a great musical. Like, a great musical. Transformers movies make $1.2 billion.
When I'm trying to explain Cats to people, I always say it's the Nickelback of Broadway musicals.
Okay. I guess, yep, that
makes
sense.
Makes a ton of money.
Yes.
Tons of people love it. It doesn't really get much critical acclaim.
But it's just, yeah, it's not
but
a great...
I don't have a hatred for this musical. Like, I saw it, like, when it was, you know, first came out, like when they first toured it. I didn't go to New York or anything. But when they were first touring it, it was like, oh, this is cool, I guess, you know. But
because it was the 1980s.
Right, like, I mean, also like, keep in mind, like, when, like, you know, like, I saw lots of musicals when I was a kid.
Right.
Shocking, I know, I'm so manly. but when everything you're seeing is Oklahoma, Camelot, Showboat, And then
for the past 30, 40 years, right. The same musical.
Then here comes Cats.
And then you get something like Cats.
And
like
everyone's dressed up and the makeup's amazing.
And if
and
you
it's,
see it
you
in
know.
New York, they transform the theater. So like the theater was designed to look like a junkyard. So
it wasn't
just on the stage.
Yeah. The walls.
And then the cats, you know, the show's like running through the audience.
They come sit in your lap and stuff. Right, like it's a whole immersive,
right.
Like you're there with
that
the
sounds
cats.
Terrible.
But it's an experience.
But
that's
nobody
why
was doing
totally,
anything
I get
like that.
Yeah, right.
So that is why Cats became famous. That is why Cats is one of the longest running and most popular shows of all time.
Is it still running? Or is it closed?
I think it's
closed.
Nah, not on Broadway. Yeah.
No,
I
thought it was...
It.
Is it? Right? It reopened a few years ago.
Oh, that may be possible. I knew last time I checked it was not running, but who knows? But the point is that the show is not great, and it's a spectacle.
Sure,
you go to see the costumes, you go to be a part of that immersive theater, if you want to call that experience. But
yeah, it's playing at the Neil Simon Theater. Oh. There's a revival.
Was
of it
just because of the movie coming?
No,
out?
I was playing when I was there like 3 years ago.
Okay, so they brought okay.
There's a stretch of Broadway where there's I think like 4 or 5. Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Oh, like
shows,
did you get Superman the musical
revivals going on. Yeah. It's like he's like the first guy I think since Rodgers and Hammerstein to have like like that many plays,
yeah,
being performed simultaneously on Broadway.
That?
See what
Superman the musical?
No, I did not.
Oh man,
I've seen clips online.
It's nuts, though.
Yeah,
it's bad.
So that's the deal. It came out in the 80s. It's a spectacle. And obviously when people go to New York and they know it's one of the most popular shows of all time, yeah, it's a destination. It's a, let's go see Cats on Broadway. They know they can make money. But the whole thing, do you know what the basis is? Do you know what Andrew Lloyd Webber adapted to make this show?
Two cats boning?
From a book of poems.
It's children's poems by T.S. Eliot. He took children's poems, nonsensical children's poems about just...
Cats.
You know, cats. And then set them to music, and it's Andrew Lloyd Webber, so that's why the songs, some of them are pretty catchy, right? I mean, it's Andrew Lloyd Webber, but it's a nonsensical story because it's a string of poems connected.
I think this was, I kind of always felt like this was a little tossed off for him.
What do you mean?
Yeah.
Like it was like,
this
oh, this
his
is for
quality.
Kids.
Yeah.
Oh, I
it's
see.
It's something
see.
Easy that they can do. Throw them in leotard,
give
put
some
whiskers on
make
them.
Make some easy cash.
Yeah.
Put some music to some kids' poems. Like, it's not like this isn't a Phantom. You know, he's not.
Right.
It's, you know, it's not a Jesus Christ Superstar. That was him, right? And then,
I think so.
And then Andrew, the Technicolor. What did
Joseph.
Joseph,
the
Joseph amazing Technicolor.
Yeah. Yeah. He, I mean, Andrew Lloyd Webber has.
He wears a Superman shirt in that play, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah. At least the one I saw at like the Fox.
That's interesting.
15 years ago.
I mean, the guy's a prolific composer. He's up there with the Rodgers and Hammersteins and all of the great...
Steven Sondheim.
Sondheim. And then what's the other duo, though, that's like the second most popular? I'm just totally blanking on there.
The Russo brothers.
The Russo brothers.
Yeah,
thank you very much.
But yeah, he also did Evita, Starlight Express, which was done entirely on roller skates.
Mm-hmm. Whew.
Yeah. And featured a young Jane Kirkowski.
Who's that?
She was the kissing cousin in National Lampoon's Vacation,
okay.
And she's on 30 Rock, and yeah,
I'm with you.
Phantom, Sunset Boulevard,
School of Rock's a great musical, and all the kids play instruments on stage. They're the band.
Yeah.
And they're awesome. Those little kids are rocking out.
Awesome.
He did Love Never Dies, which we don't talk about. It's a terrible sequel to Phantom of the Opera.
Oh, that's
it is a sequel, and it is not good.
Interesting.
So that's what this show is. There's this strange curiosity about it, and again, you go because you're in a theater and you want to see this spectacle. And then for some reason they decided to spend $95 million.
That's so much money.
And then get rid of the appeal, which is people in costumes and designing impressive sets, and they did it on CG that looked like a PlayStation 2 cutscene.
Yeah, it's flabbergasting.
How bad it is, right? And it's not like where it's like, "Ooh, Cats, it's dumb," or "Oh, it looks bad," but it's not really like, no. It is atrocious.
Yeah.
The CG and the visual effects are terrible in this movie. Like, we have not seen... I was watching the early, I think it's 2004's Charlie and the Chocolate Factory,
okay,
by Tim Burton.
Sure.
And, you know, which I think is, you know, it's a decent movie. I actually enjoyed it.
But I liked it too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm not to poo-poo it, but that's a 2004 movie.
Right.
And it was very stylized, obviously, but Tim Burton was getting into CG more than he ever had. So
right.
You've got the Deep Roy and the duplicates and all the weird effects. Cats does a very similar look of the visual effects to 2004's Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Interesting.
And then I went back and watched a clip of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. I'd like to formally apologize to Tim Burton because 2004's Charlie and the Chocolate Factory looks 100 times better than Cats. Like, that's how bad this movie is that, I mean, any old CG pretty much stands
up. I just didn't, like, from Jump Street, you're...
You know what? The first time that I was flabbergasted and actually laughed out loud was within a minute of the opening.
Yeah, that sounds
when
about
that
right.
That car pulls onto the street.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think me and Katie both laughed out loud at the screening, and I don't think anyone else did or I didn't hear it. So at first I was kind of like, oh, I don't want to like offend anyone else. But I literally laughed out loud because that car looked so bad.
Yeah.
As soon as I saw that, and I was, because I'm thinking, oh, it's going to look better on the big screen and the effects are going to be finished.
But, nope.
No.
But why?
Now, but you saw,
I don't know.
Because they pushed out the version with new effects, right?
Yeah,
which I think was which was code for we left Judi Dench's human hand with
it was
a wedding
still
ring.
The one that, it was still in the one that I saw.
Oh.
It was definitely like front and center.
I wonder if your theater didn't. Because if they patched Ronnie's it, how would they not
yeah.
get rid of? I mean, that's the most glaring.
But they didn't.
She's wearing a fur coat. Like, we got to talk about some of these cats wear fur coats and they take them off.
Right. It's
what
really
the hell
weird.
Is that?
I don't know.
And like, so, okay, the humans are cat size.
Yep.
But they're human faces.
Yep.
And they walk on two legs like humans.
Some of them.
Some of them. But then some of them can take off their fur.
Yeah, like
Rebel Wilson
like takes her skin off. She unzips herself to reveal
and it's
more
not a
fur.
Coat, but it looks like a fur.
It like, looked right. like she was taking her skin
yes.
off.
Yes. And yeah. then she has clothes on top of fur.
Yeah.
And then some people, like Judi Dench, look like they're wearing a skinned cat coat.
Yeah.
And then it's evident in where her hand shows that yeah. she's wearing a coat with cuffs and everything. Like, what the hell? This movie's... And sometimes the perspective, like on that railroad scene when they're dancing,
yeah.
sometimes the cats are really small. Sometimes they're bigger. Like,
yeah, the proportion of the cats to the rest of the world... is never consistent. Yeah.
No. Everything about the visual effects in this movie is just wrong.
But yeah. here's, like, that's the thing. Is like, so this dude, Tom
Hooper.
Who made Les Mis, which I love.
Right, like,
movie.
Wasn't that nominated for Oscars?
Anne Hathaway won the Oscar, and yes, it won 3 Oscars.
That's what I thought. And he also did The King's Speech.
Oh, and won Oscars. Best Picture, right?
What happened?
I mean, he is an Oscar-winning...
Les Mis is a snooze, I think.
I've never seen...
But I don't really like the Broadway version yeah. either.
And I love the Broadway
version. To me, the Broadway
version
is like Cats in that it's a big, giant spectacle,
sure.
and it's cool to see.
I think every song is almost crazy.
I think every song is a big steaming turd.
Sure.
Every song Here's Les Mis. Something bad is happening, and I'm singing about it, and I'm making it up on the spot because apparently people would break into hives if this had a melody. Like, and
well,
like I hate Les Mis.
It's basically an opera, which everything right. is sung, and it doesn't always have to have a song. Like, it's a sung through, but fair enough.
Yeah.
But it's an Oscar-winning movie. King's Speech, Oscar-winning movie. Tom Hooper can direct a movie, but I would like to know what the hell happened here where
I have no
that
idea.
Accomplished of a director even
this is a
got
career.
Halfway through it and was like, we don't need to delay this?
This is a career killer.
Well,
I really do. I mean, if this budget was maybe 40 to 50, maybe not.
And it opened to 6.5
90,
million.
And you opened against Star Wars? What were you thinking?
I think they were thinking counter-programming.
I don't think there is counter-programming for Star Wars at this point.
Really, do you think that people that like Cats are like, oh, but Star Wars?
Well, I think that people that like Cats
wear Christmas sweaters.
Unironically.
Yeah.
But I also feel like there's those people who like this movie.
But I mean Cats ran on Broadway for 18
yeah that's true
years
that's, and that's what I was like the theater I saw it Friday in a packed theater
but okay, but here's your answer, though. $95 million budget. It means it has to make $200 million to break even.
That's not going to happen.
It opened to $6.5 million. Yeah. Those people didn't show up.
Oh, I think they did show up.
No, and
there's not enough of them.
But there's, Joe, there's people. Broadway, I mean, you're talking about a huge crowd, like the older crowd.
That's
that
true.
That packs the Fox Theater here every single night of a show.
When Jennifer Hudson sings Memories, I could hear audible sniffling.
Oh. Like, well, I could see visual sniffling for sure, right?
There was one woman, I could hear it, but then there was also like a dude in the same row just sawing logs. Not even trying to hide it.
Let's put the numbers in perspective doing some real rough math. 6.5 million opening weekend on a $95 million budget.
Yep.
If average ticket prices are $7, which they're not, they're probably 12. That's 1 million people saw Cats opening weekend. There's 350 million people in the United States.
And what did Star Wars do?
So I'm just saying, like
there's just the,
oh,
just looking
185.
At, exactly. Yeah. Like it's,
but my point is there are people that didn't all show up. 1 million. And it's probably half that because averages and you're New York, LA. So 500,000 people saw Cats opening weekend. That's not a lot of people.
No. And that's the thing is like, I get that there's probably an appeal for, there's an audience for this movie.
Yeah.
Maybe
there's an audience for a good version of this movie.
Yeah, that's probably
like,
true.
Like, why did the people that like Cats not even show up? I mean, I think even people that loved it saw it and were like,
they could. I think what the movie looks bad.
Yeah,
it looks
just real bad.
It just looks bad, and people could tell.
Yeah.
When the car came on the screen and you're introduced to all the cats in the very beginning, it looked to me like something like a early 2000s web video. Like it is literally, for all the movies we've seen great ones, good ones, terrible movies, for all of them we've seen, I looked at this and I said, how did this get released? Like, it is that bad and unfinished.
That's kind of where I'm at.
I just don't understand how anyone let this get released.
Yeah.
When you have a major studio like this, and we've said this about, you know, like, you know, jokingly about Man of Steel, where it's like, how did that line get past?
What's that?
Just in general. Like, you know, there's certain lines in movies where like, how did that?
What line? What are you talking about?
The Martha line?
The Martha line, or just lines in general where it's like lines of dialogue. You're always I'm just using Man of Steel. But you know, we've seen plenty of stuff where it's like, how did that get past six different people?
And that's just one little
snippet of a thing. This is like an hour to 2 hour movie where executives had to sit down and be like, I guess it's okay to put out. I don't know.
I think that this had to be a foolish decision where they were like, we've already spent $100 million on this thing. We need to recoup our budget and we're not giving you any more.
And they wanted it out in the same time frame as The Great Showman.
Oh.
Which was a terrible mistake.
But like The Great Showman came out at this time of year.
Did they release that against The Last Jedi?
I forget what it was up against, but it came out at Christmas time.
Mm. Yeah.
And even, you know, that opening weekend
got smoked.
And then people,
and then it had record breaking
word of mouth.
Weeks.
Yeah.
Remember, it was like increases every week.
Uh-huh. It was. Yeah.
But like third, fourth was just like hundreds. Just,
So much. It's actually because of this podcast. That's why Tom has an autographed script from Hugh Jackman.
And you do, too.
I do.
But the difference.
Can you sign this as Wolverine?
The difference is, though, is that The Greatest Showman. OK, Pasek and Paul, some of the great songwriters of our time. Pasek and Paul are Rodgers and Hammerstein of the modern age.
Yeah.
You're talking about La La Land. You're talking about Dear Evan Hansen.
Oh, Blah Blah Bland.
I've never heard of that. But but you're talking about these guys that are writing Broadway shows and film musicals that are doing great work. And so The Greatest Showman is like song after song. You've got the charisma of Hugh Jackman. I mean, we could go on about that movie all day.
That's
a great feel-good movie to where people are just overjoyed when they see it.
Do you think that when you combine this, I'll trust your opinion on those songs.
Sure.
But when you combine those songs with the charisma of Hugh Jackman, you do kind of have lightning in a bottle.
Yeah.
Where I feel like with this one, I don't know if it's
Taylor Swift doesn't know how to sell a song.
Taylor Swift does, but you get her for 3 minutes,
right?
And it's also, isn't it her song she wrote? Like
The ghost song.
Okay.
I think the song she sings isn't the one that she wrote.
Well, but yeah, she knows that. We're not going to pretend that she can't sell. But I wonder
but
if it's
right,
like
though,
the CG and like everything. Everything seems so fake that there is no charisma. Like everybody, everything.
Well, because you laugh at it. Like,
yeah, I guess that's
like
true.
From the moment you see the cat faces. Okay, there was a game on. I'm going to compare this to video games because, and video games are great, but the 20 years ago, video games looked cheesy. The graphics weren't there, right?
Yeah.
So on 1999's Sega Dreamcast, there was a game called Seaman. And it was a fish with a human face. And it was
weird,
right? So this movie, cats with human faces, like, it's really no better looking than that.
Well, I can even tolerate a human face if you put makeup on it, you know? Like, if you get Tom Savini or any of those guys to do the makeup for that.
That's the deal, because it's not uncanny. This movie's all motion captured, so...
Is it, though? Like, didn't I read somewhere that they didn't wear green suits? Like, they put it on... after the fact.
But I think that's what I mean, though, is that it looks so uncanny because they're filming them and then the computer's adding it to them. If this movie was a full CG, which I've heard people say, and I think I mentioned it before it came out, like, they should have animated this movie.
You mean like
CG Pixar,
like Polar
style
Express, or
no? I think that's weird. I hate that animation because that's more Uncanny Valley. Like,
I'll give you that. I love A Christmas Carol, but I hear what you're saying.
Well, and that one's a little better, but yeah, it's still kind of weird.
It's too dark, but yeah.
But if they Pixar'd it and made really cool designs of the cats, and you could make them look like humans being cats, but, you know, really cool, high-quality Pixar designs, I think it would be great. But you can't get past the terrible designs. Like, you laugh at when they come on screen, people are laughing.
They're so bad.
You're trying to take them serious. They're crying and snot's coming out of their nose. And Tom Hooper does this thing where, like, in Les Mis, they zoom in on Anne Hathaway and they said, "Here, win the Oscar." And she does it. And they do the same thing on Jennifer Hudson. And you're just like, I can't take this cat monster seriously. Like, like they are like,
I can't take
were
this.
Were they singing on set in this one, like Les Mis?
I mean, it definitely looks like.
I feel like they were. But
this whole cast is singers, right? Like, for the most part.
A lot of them are, but here's the difference, too. Okay, so, like, you know, Jason Derulo.
Who is that? I have no idea who that is.
The Rum Tum Tugger. He's a pop star, and he would say his name in every song.
Oh, okay.
It would always start off with Jason Derulo. He would say his name.
Is he a current pop star?
Early 2000s pop star. He's probably still around. But,
okay.
But he may be a catchy pop star, but he's not a Broadway level talent, right? And so the problem is you get all these big names in here, and granted, some are Broadway people, sure, a lot of actors are, but when you get these people in here that are just like, oh yeah, that's a name, and they can't sing,
right?
Like, you just can't match, because that original Cats cast, like, was amazing. If you listen to the original cast recordings, I mean, their voices were incredible.
Sure,
they're working
sure.
with Andrew Lloyd Webber, and he's got these amazing talents.
You know who sang Memory originally?
No.
It was the lady that played the psychiatrist in Split, wasn't it? Betty Buckley.
Betty Buckley. And that, if you go watch
was that was stunt casting in Split, and nobody caught it?
Well, I mean, she's a working actress.
Oh, okay,
But I wouldn't have called that stunt casting. I mean, she played the mom on Eight is Enough, and, you know, she's, you know.
I gotcha.
But if you go watch the recordings that they did of, you know, original Broadway cast and Betty Buckley singing Memory, it's like, wow. And
well, doesn't Jennifer Hudson have an Oscar too?
Oh yeah, and Jennifer Hudson's good. I'm just saying that it's distracting in the CG.
Sure,
for sure.
I agree.
And it's still not as good as Betty Buckley. And
so they murdered that cat, right?
Oh yeah, that's the whole point.
They just like, here you go.
Here's the story of cats. Jellicle cats. Whatever the F that is. They never explain it.
Angel cats. That's the
only
thing
I can... never explain it. Jellicle cats.
I feel like they're a cult of cats, and they're like, it's your time to be the sacrifice. Yeah.
And so every year, the Jellicle cats.
Yeah.
Jellicle cats? Are they...
Yeah.
Okay, they're Jellicle cats.
Yeah, sure. Don't ever do the drinking game where you take a shot every time they say
you're
Jellicle.
You're gonna die.
Jesus. And that song's catchy, but it was catchy the first 5 minutes. That song's way too long, like, in general. But so they all are dancing around trying to go to the Jellicle ball, where they do the Jellicle dance and try to be the Jellicle choice. And the Jellicle choice is the cat who gets sacrificed and gets to start their next life because of nine lives.
Sure, sure. But I took it as like, but you get to go be like a house cat. Like, you get this wonderful life.
But what's her name?
But they send her off in a balloon.
You're no longer an alley cat.
But Rebel Wilson is a house cat.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, she's a rich,
but
it
must be a lot. It must be a bad house because look at all the cockroaches.
That's true. Yeah, that's a good point. She's not doing her job.
But I was laughing at the end because I mean we can spoil things here. I really don't think it matters.
No, I don't think it matters.
But at the end of this movie, the thing they've been waiting for is to be sent off in a balloon to where clearly it's going to eventually explode or you're going to fall out of it or whatever. You know, like
feet, right? That's the deal.
Well,
with
that's a pretty that high. Like, yeah, that's a pretty high drop. I didn't think of that, but it's pretty. It's a balloon, hot air balloon. So you're just sent off to your death, and that's the point. We know that they're gonna die and
the
be reborn.
Line is Idris Elba is in this movie?
Oh,
and it's that dude needs to fire his agent.
Yes,
like give
it's
stop
time.
It. It is
naked, very naked. Idris Elba.
There's
also,
one point where I was like, "Where's his
bacon? Why? Why is Idris Elba not a clothes cat? Some cats are clothes cats, and some cats are naked cats. Some cats have skin that they took off with clothes on top of their other skin. I would like to understand this. Like,
some cats wear shoes.
Yeah.
I don't know
some
why.
Some crawl around.
Yeah, I don't know.
Doesn't Jennifer Hudson crawl around for most of the movie?
No, she's like skulking.
I thought she was on for...
No, I think no, she's just like huddled.
Oh,
yeah,
she's
like
just,
a lot.
Okay. But
yeah,
some cats do walk on all fours. I swear there were cats that roamed around.
No, I think that... Well, they did like that weird like crouching... shuffle.
Yeah
that was kind of what they were doing.
Like, how bad were those mice? Remember the mice?
Oh,
the mice were
the mice,
the singing mice,
the cockroaches, and looked like the cockroaches from Joe's apartment,
and the and the cockroaches, that's what reminded me of the Willy Wonka thing, because
sure,
they duplicate Deep Roy and it looks amazing when you go back actually and watch the CG. Like, it looks really good.
Is Deep Roy the Oompa Loompa?
Yeah,
yeah, okay.
I mean,
right.
You know, he's been around forever.
Sure.
But
I've never seen that version.
Oh, okay, you should check it out.
I liked it.
I hate Tim Burton.
Well, it is a Tim Burton-y movie for
sure. Well,
to Charlie and the Chocolate Factory,
it kind of works in that world.
Sure, you know what I mean? I feel like I could see where that would
because
work.
Because the drawings and the art is very
right.
It's a perfect.
And he kind of drills down on like the kind of Willy Wonka
is a jerk.
Is kind of a crazy idea.
Yeah, sure.
Like
yeah.
It's not cute.
No,
you know what I mean. And
no.
And he really kind of lives in that world of like, this looks cute, but it's not really.
It's what I feel like Gene Wilder. Like,
he touched on
that
as much as you could for that
sure,
time period,
sure.
Which is why that movie so resonates with people.
Right.
Absolutely.
Man,
yeah.
That boat tunnel scene.
Oh, yeah.
Still
it's crazy, right?
Yeah. Nuts.
But those cockroaches, going back to those. So the way they filmed it.
You ever heard
it,
the Marilyn Manson version?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
It was Sweet
so.
Dreams, wasn't it?
That was the intro to Sweet Dreams, wasn't it?
No, maybe. I think it's the whole video.
Yeah.
If it's not that, it's the one. It's like his first single hit,
yeah,
whatever that was, not the Dope Show.
But the way they filmed those cockroaches, it looked very much like the scene with the Oompa Loompas when they're duplicating them, just the camera work and everything.
Yeah,
but that's when I went back and looked, and I'm like, oh wow, they did it way better 16 years ago. Like, I just
so here's the thing, like that means that, like, just follow the thought process here. That means that somebody went and saw Cats and said, you know what's missing? Cockroaches. Like, why would they possibly add cockroaches?
And do cats eat cockroaches? I've never heard of a cat eating a cockroach.
Why would she? So she has all these cockroaches that she's trained to sing and dance, and then she starts eating them.
She does start eating them.
Here's a thought. Why don't you eat a cockroach that you haven't trained to sing and dance?
Yeah.
Like, there are no... There is no scarcity of cockroaches, so why invest all that time into training a cockroach to sing and dance?
And then just eat them.
Only to eat it.
Yeah.
And then the cockroaches have human faces.
Yeah.
It's super creepy. Like, they've never, like, in the musical, they don't have humans in cockroach suits. Like, you know what I mean?
They don't
like,
do
that's
the cockroach thing at all.
No,
in the
that's what I mean. But, like, you know how creepy that would be if there were huge cockroach monsters walking around? Like, they look like humans with cockroach shells on.
Yeah.
And they're really terrible. And then she's eating them. And it's just like.
It's gross.
It's totally gross.
And it's very gross.
It's so bad. Actual cats are filing a defamation suit.
Oh, absolutely.
So bad.
This has put cats back to the Egyptian ages.
I saw one.
Like, sure.
I saw one quote that was like.
They were worshipped back then.
This is the worst thing that happened to cats since dogs.
Yeah. Yeah. That was.
That was a great line.
That was David Ehrlich, I think.
Oh, was it?
And he's great. Yeah. That was, and he did that before the movie came out. That was a great tweet.
Yeah. There's also just like, there's a scene with Ian McKellen where I was just
God,
like,
where he's like, he's doing something. That's the other thing. These guys are doing something completely different. Like, Ian McKellen plays Gus the theater cat.
Yeah.
And he's trying to be so theatrical, and Ian McKellen's so great.
Yeah.
But like, he just, it's so weird in this movie that he's like trying to, because he's licking himself and he's moving like a cat.
Yeah. Yuck.
And the weirdest thing about it is none of the other cats move or seem like cats.
Right.
And then Ian McKellen's like totally like like playing into the cat.
And I feel like they had him for a day.
Yeah.
And he comes, and because I, that's the one scene in the movie I liked, but you're not wrong.
Goes, where he just goes off.
Where he does this, his theater song, you know. But yeah, like, but he's behaving in this cat-like manner that the other actors haven't adopted for the most part.
It's like, I prepared this, and they're like, well, we can't really tell Ian McKellen. Like, we have him for a day, and he prepared this. So yeah, it's...
I guess just let him go?
It's so strange. So, I mean, yeah, that's... It's hard to really talk about this movie chronologically, because we've
already said
the whole plot, because there is no...
And then it's just song after song.
I was actually, I was timing it like an album. And I was like, all right, a normal album probably has like 10 to 12 songs, give or take. Let's see how long this
takes.
Well,
not a Broadway musical.
No, right. But I was thinking like...
Because most Broadway cast recordings are double albums.
Yeah. Sure. Right.
There's usually like 10 or 12 songs per act, and you've got the
two acts. We did not have that in this. I felt like there was like 12 songs. I feel like they got the hits. And
so,
by hits, I mean meh.
Okay, so again... Andrew Lloyd Webber, he creates some catchy songs. That's the only saving grace, which there really is none. But I mean, if you were to pick one, the songs are catchy. And by they fell ass backwards into that, because again, these are Andrew Lloyd Webber songs.
Right.
Like, this movie's terrible, and it even does terrible versions of most of the songs, but it's like, hey, there's that Andrew Lloyd Webber amazing musicality here. And so, like, the Jellicle Cats, again, too long, but it's catchy. The Rum Tum Tugger song, it's catchy. You know, I mean, it's just a catchy...
It is a catchy
song.
They're
earwigs. You know, they get stuck in your head. Like, these are catchy songs.
I had earbuds in while I was watching it, so I didn't really pay attention.
Oh, get out of here.
No, I
But, like, even, like, speaking of Rum Tum Tugger, that's the Jason Derulo character. Like, I just remember him doing some really weird choices, the way he... acted and talked and played it like it
well
just,
and that I didn't like that version of the song at all, because in the play it's more of like that was kind of their rock number,
yeah,
and this one didn't like, because
he went into
rock,
that
but,
pop because he
yeah
no, like a rocky pop song,
right?
Yeah, I
so didn't really do
but this
that.
One went more into that like it, I mean it wasn't like hip-hop or anything. I didn't feel like it went that far,
right?
But it also was like a more of a light airy pop type of music than a rock song.
These are also some horny cats.
Oh my god,
that song in the milk bar where he basically blows a load over like three cats, where he just like dumps the milk.
Yeah,
I was like, what are we doing?
These are cats, right?
Yeah,
cat-sized cats, not human-sized cats,
right?
So they live in a human world, cats. Why is there a milk bar?
That's
a
great question.
Everything on that street that they dance on
is cat stuff.
Is cat oriented.
Is people sized,
right?
But cat
oriented,
right?
What the flying
every
that
single
sounds like
thing.
The worst place to live.
So if you're a human, you have to go to all cat businesses.
I was like, oh, the milk
do
bar.
The are they? Yep. Yeah, now. Okay, if Alex popped out and murdered all these cats, and now I love cats, I have one, no violence against real cats. I mean these cats, right?
Yeah, right.
If we ever say anything negative towards cats, especially with violence,
I don't have cats. I also hate cats.
But it's
I hate cats too. Yeah.
But it's these CG digital fur technology cats. I just want to preface that right now. But yeah, if Alex from Clockwork Orange, when they showed that milk bar, I'm like, please do an homage, some kind of Easter egg to the Cordova milk bar, because that would be amazing. But
it
he
was
never
so
came.
Weird.
Him and his droogs never came. And
what
that
what a jerk.
It was.
I'm sure he was too busy doing, who knows, a voiceover, maybe?
Oh, no, he was just in, what was he just in?
Halloween 2.
He was in Halloween 2?
He's in the Rob Zombie. He plays Loomis in the Rob Zombie stuff.
New one, okay. But so, let's talk about, I like that you brought up the sexuality of these cats.
Man, oh
okay.
Man.
These are cats.
Yeah.
Human faces.
They're in heat.
Oh, buddy, are they?
But these are cats, and they tried to make these cats so sexy. And I think it's different, again, when you see a Broadway play, and these are actors on stage,
right.
And you can see their human form, and they're in makeup and stuff. Okay, fine. These are humans in front of you, and we're humans. Okay. But these are supposed to be cats, and they have fur, like cat fur, not makeup, fur. They're real cats.
But no genitals.
But boobs.
That's why they're so horny.
Yes, but boobs.
Yeah.
Clearly.
They're super horny, but they can never
do nothing about it. Yeah, right.
But then, like, Rebel Wilson spread eagle for a minute straight.
Yeah.
I'm like.
Or Judi Dench.
Well,
Judi Dench.
I was going to get there.
I was like, can we not do that ever again, please?
Like, Dame Judi Dench does not need to be
do you think that was
lifting
her body?
Her leg up. I don't know, man.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
I don't think she could put her leg over
that's
her head.
That's what I felt like.
Do you
I was
think
like, there's
Judy
no way.
Put
She's
her
not
leg
Helen
over?
Mirren.
Well, I well, put Helen Mirren in this.
Yes. Oh, yeah. It might be a different.
All day, every day.
It might be a different story. Yeah. But seriously, though, when I saw the Rebel Wilson stuff, and again, nothing against Rebel Wilson. I think she's annoying, but I'm not.
Do you?
I like Rebel Wilson.
I think Rebel, I like Rebel Wilson as well.
I mean, she's better than some other actors I'm not going to name. But
Melissa McCarthy?
Well, you said it. So, but when you saw her like spread eagle with her legs open, but and she's like rubbing herself and being provocative, I'm like, it's a cat. Like, it was, it skeeved me out.
This movie is going to launch an entire generation of new fetishes.
Oh, yeah. You ain't kidding, brother. Yeah. You thought furries were bad?
There's going to be a lot of 12-year-olds stumbling across this, having some sort of awakening that we will never be able to put back to sleep.
Right, right, right.
Mommy,
like, what
I'm
happened?
Confused.
Yeah, we are too, brother. I don't know what to tell you.
So, yeah, and you already said the Judi Dench thing, but like at the end when Judi Dench is being all sexy and provocative and cleaning herself and everything, I'm like, what? And then doesn't Judi Dench like rub up on Idris Elba's? Who does Idris Elba's getting all sexy on people too?
Ray Winston?
No, I don't think they can know. Yeah, and when he pops up,
he
like,
does
what?
Pop up, and I was like, what are we doing? Why is Ray Winston in this movie?
Yeah.
So here's the weird thing about how sexual the cats are.
Oh, please tell me.
Is one of like the main plot point that leads up to the climax of the film, which is no pun intended.
Oh.
memory, right?
Yeah, right.
Is it's all about that the cat Grisabella?
Mm-hmm. Which one's that?
That's the main cat? The one with the snot.
Okay, so that's
a lot
Hudson.
More snot in this movie than I would have anticipated going in. If someone had said, "Tom, how much snot do you think is going to be in this movie?"
None.
I would have said zero snot.
Right.
Amount of snot.
You know what? I think maybe the actors were like really getting into it, and they're like, "We don't know how to edit that out. Can we get the mustache people from Superman?" No.
No.
Like,
all right. I guess
if
we'll
you can't
deal with
edit
it.
Out snot, then yeah, you got the wrong CGI crew.
Oh yeah.
But like, were we watching a 4D movie? I could feel the snot. That's how much was in.
It was
like,
a lot of snot. Yeah.
A lot of, and super close up,
very close
on
up.
The snot.
Yeah,
like the snot actually got a producing credit. Yeah. That's how much snot is in this movie. Yeah. But
had to get his SAG card.
But with Grisabella, like the whole backstory there is that she used to be this beautiful, sultry cat, and they're all like, "You're a hooker."
But
right,
so
and,
I
but the, like,
she's a, what did they call? She's a fancy. She's a fancy cat. What is she? She's
but
a,
I took it as she left to join Idris Elba, and then he kicked her to the curb with when he got Taylor Swift.
Her past allegiance with McCavity.
Yeah.
He's a bad guy.
This damn movie.
And she went off to go be with McCavity.
Right.
And
then,
I guess he
Taylor Swift
kicked
and
her
was
to
like,
the
and,
when she was old.
Right.
And
right.
He replaced
her
with the younger model.
Yeah. Yes.
But why are the other cats mad at her?
That's a great point.
Like, everything is about, like, oh, she used to be this slutty cat.
And now?
They're slut shaming this cat in the movie.
I think mainly because she went to be with Idris Elba, though. Like, I think, like, she was like, oh, you know, because he's the sexy naked. He's double
looking right.
Because I don't know how their like attractions with human bodies, whatever, however that works. But like she went to go be with him and he's a bad guy, but like they got it on and then now they're
and
like
now she's back.
Oh, you
she's like you suck.
Yeah, you left to go get some tail. And,
but that's all they want to do.
Yeah, because that they're horny cats.
Yeah.
But then why are they mad at this one for doing what they want to do?
Because
glamour cat. Grisabella the Glamour Cat. That's
The Glamour Cat.
And
you
call her Jizabella.
Now, are you born to be a Glamour Cat? Like,
I like to think that I was.
Well, you, Tom, but that's the other thing. Okay, so the bad part about, let me preface this.
All of it?
Yeah. So these are poems, as we mentioned. They're children's poems, and they're nonsensical, like fever dream, just crazy poems. There's no explanation to any of it because the poems are like, these are cats and they're dancing and they're Jellicle cats. Like they don't go, a Jellicle cat is a bubble, right? So nothing's defined. And that's why, so it's like, you've got a theater cat and a glamour cat and a whatever. And it's like, what does that mean? Who decided that? And like, why are there all these different kind? Like,
I don't,
there's no explanation.
There's no explanation for anything. Yeah. Like all of a sudden,
which in a poem is decent.
Fine, whatever.
You know, it's
but,
a poem.
Yeah. But this
in a narrative film.
Your main cat is like tossed out with the garbage and then the other cats like kind of take her in. But then they keep
Victoria
like
Victoria is the new cat they introduced, and I thought that actor was really talented. Like you could tell
this was her like coming out party. Like it said introducing whoever she was.
And you could tell that she did ballet. She's probably a ballet dancer that this is her first movie. But you could tell because again it's all like captured and they put the fur on them.
Yeah.
So when you see her doing like the pointed moves and everything, like the ballet right. dances, like you can tell her form is great. Like this is a very
talented. And then they
talented...
CGI'd it to death, so you couldn't really see right. what she was doing.
But you could tell though that like this actor was very talented, and it's a shame that this is her first introduction.
Yeah, because... my friend Brett Bex sent me a text and just said, I cannot, like, can I come on the show to do this review? And I was like, no, did you like it? And she was like, yes. I was like, then absolutely not. And she was like, she goes, as a former dancer, she's like, I was blown away by the dancing. And I was like, is that's it? Like, just the dancing? And she's like, well, yeah. I was like, okay.
But that's the problem.
We will make mention.
Yeah, right, right.
Other than Victoria, though, the dancing wasn't even good. The choreography was bad.
Yeah, they had her front and center for a lot of it.
But so the main character, who's basically the audience surrogate, like you said, Victoria's thrown out with the garbage.
She's your every cat.
Yeah.
Every cat.
But she's introduced into this world, and she doesn't know what the hell Jellicle cats are and all these weirdo cats. So that's kind of our connection.
Right.
That actress is Francesca Hayward.
Yeah.
She's an English ballet dancer and actress. She's a principal dancer in the Royal Ballet.
Ooh,
of,
that's legit.
Covent Garden in London. So clearly you could tell she was talented. And I think she was the best part of this movie because she looked like she belonged. I will say James Corden gets on my nerves lately, but he seemed like
worst.
He belonged in the movie though. Like James Corden is a musical guy, you know, and he's done, he did.
Oh, believe me. He'll make sure you know.
Yes. But to be fair though, like I felt like he was not out of place in this movie. Like when James Corden comes on, you're like, okay, he's doing a Broadway theatrical goofy, you know, like
right.
him, Victoria, and the other guy, the magical Mr. Moshanks or whatever. Magical. I can't remember these. What was his name?
The black and white
the
cat.
The magical cat. Yeah. The tuxedo cat. Yeah.
Not
Mistopheles. Idris Elba. Magical Mr. Mistopheles.
Yeah. As soon as they said, I was like, fuck off.
He did a really good job, too. Like, I thought he was good. Like, as far as in this movie of crap,
right?
These people seem like they belong. But Idris Elba was like dialed up to 11. He was like a mustache.
Yes.
I'm surprised they didn't do a cat fur mustache that trolled up. Like he was doing that whole thing. I mean, Taylor Swift, you know, who is billed number one in this cast.
She comes in
5 minutes before the end of the movie.
And then she's gone.
And she sings one song and then she disappears.
I mean, she probably is the biggest name.
Yeah, but
in this
they're not stupid. Don't get me
wrong.
But
right.
When the Swifties or whatever go to see this movie, they're checking their watches and they're like, "What am I? What
was she one of those ones in the background that I missed? Was she like one of the stormtroopers in Star Wars?
I just feel like that's such a crappy like. When you do it in Psycho, there's a difference, right? Like we know.
At least in Psycho, it's in front.
Yeah, exactly. And
it's part of the plot.
Correct.
Right? The plot is like, hey, we pulled the rug out from under you.
Right. And this one, you're just like, she's okay.
And Psycho's like 30 minutes. I mean, she does have time up front.
Yeah.
She's top billed, but she gets her time. But yeah, Taylor Swift comes in at the end of the movie, sings a song.
And then pimps
away. Disappears a couple times. Like,
yep.
I just can't imagine. I would love to hear. Maybe I'll ask the question online. Like, fans of Taylor Swift. Well, no, I better not. I don't want them anywhere. No.
Engagement.
Yeah, well, I don't want that kind. Because I was just curious, if you're a Taylor Swift fan, you see this movie sight unseen, don't know the characters, don't know the music, and you sit through this for that, like, can't you just watch the previews where she shakes catnip? Like, that's pretty much the scene she shows up in.
Yeah, she does. She dopes,
I like the new
up.
Song. Was that her song? The Beautiful Ghosts?
Which one was that?
Was that heard about Beautiful Ghosts?
But who sung it?
I don't even remember it, honestly.
The Evercat sang it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so Taylor Swift wrote that for her. Yes, that was fine. And then the Taylor Swift song was just like, I don't know.
Yeah, so where she dopes up all the other cats.
Yeah, she drugs them all.
Yeah, right. She Cosby's them.
Yeah.
I'm just putting it out there. Allegedly. Well, I guess it's not. He went to jail.
No, he went to jail.
Yeah, he's convicted.
He can't sue you now.
Yeah, right. Did you see that quote? From Eddie Murphy's,
my God, from Bill Cosby's publicist.
And then Eddie Murphy's wife came back at him.
I didn't hear that.
I watched SNL, but what was the note? I didn't.
Basically,
Murphy's publicist was like, Bill Cosby's publicist basically said, like, called Eddie Murphy a step and fetch it.
Yep.
And Hollywood slave. Yep. I mean, it was like, oof, it was bad.
All he said was, I never thought I'd be doing family movies and you'd be in jail.
I mean, it's like, that. I thought that joke was a good joke. But also, like, it was literally a statement of fact.
Yep.
One, like, it was fact. Two, it was very tame. As far as he could have said.
Could you imagine if Eddie Murphy, if he wanted to,
like,
and also, I
guarantee you, Eddie Murphy, if he wanted to, would have unloaded.
Yes. Also, let's not forget that Bill Cosby famously called out Eddie Murphy for being a bad influence on children.
Right.
And so,
so this
is not happening in a vacuum. He was morally superior and self-righteous about Eddie Murphy's language. And
he's
while
raping people.
While he was doing that,
right.
He was a serial rapist.
Yep.
Yeah. And so,
And then I think it's, I'm pretty sure it was Eddie Murphy's, either, I don't know if it's his girlfriend or his wife, came back and said, I didn't read what she said, but I was, she came back.
Does he have 10 kids?
Yes.
I mean,
that's true.
I know that he was with Sporty Spice for a minute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have kids together.
Yeah. And I don't remember, I'm sure he had a wife before that. Or maybe not. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if he ever actually got married. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't think he married.
I know.
What's
it's
Mel
like,
B?
Like, I'm a huge Eddie Murphy fan. I know next to nothing about his personal life.
Give that guy some credit then. Like, if he kept his personal life under wraps for the most part, you know, like, didn't do anything.
That's impressive,
in,
yeah.
Even like, when he picked up a transsexual hooker.
I mean.
Like that went away very quickly.
Didn't it?
I mean, yeah.
Hugh Grant had to put up with more stuff than Eddie Murphy did.
Richard Gere's still getting rumors about something. It's just like
something he didn't even do.
Right? Yeah. Like, that's like one of the most famous celebrity things ever.
Oh, yeah. That's the Rod Stewart one.
The Rod Stewart one is, yeah. What was the Natalie Wood one?
Well,
who actually did or what actually happened?
Oh,
that
that's an actual.
It was Cliff Booth.
What? Oh, right. Yeah, that's right. But yeah, I mean, this movie sucked. I don't know, like.
Yeah, I'm. You know, honestly, it's. I mean,
I what really what boggles my mind is that.
Oh, please do tell.
It is the CG. Like, it's insane to me that this made it through. And who put this out? Who?
This is.
Was it a major studio?
Universal, yeah.
Like,
non-major studios. I know that what's his face just did it with that war movie, but generally $100 million movies are not independent. Remember the biggest independent movie
Midway.
Midway. $100 million.
Yeah.
But generally that doesn't happen. And so other than that, which is like the most expensive one, like, yeah, this is a $100 million budget. Like, they thought they were going to make some crazy Christmas money.
They thought
on this
they
property.
Had The Great Showman. They thought they had, you drop a musical in this time frame, just like Great Showman. And it, but this one's got a built in fan base.
They Paul Blarted it.
That's the crazy thing. This has a, 40 years almost of a built-in fan base?
It ran for 18 years on Broadway. Mm-hmm. It ran for 21 years in London's West End. It ran for 15 years in Japan.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm. And it's currently back on Broadway, and it's been on Broadway again since 2016. Like,
yeah, and they're touring it. It's come through St. Louis soon.
And so, I mean, like, this is a...
Do you think this is going to hurt?
Should have a built-in fan base.
Do you think this is going to hurt the Broadway play, like the touring play?
I don't think so. I think the people that like the Broadway play saw the trailer and said,
"No, thank you.
That looks like a poop sandwich."
Clearly,
and they were like, "I'm out."
Yeah. No one turned up to see this movie. That's the insane thing with the. It doesn't even matter. I mean. You're talking about 500,000 people. You're talking about Swiftie fans, you know? You're talking about people that are going for the actors, people that are going just for Taylor Swift, the kids and stuff that have never heard of Cats, and the musical theater fans. 500,000 is all those people together,
right.
Non-theater and theater alike. Like, no one, and I say no one is a broad term, but, like, people saw this trailer, and they said, I'm out.
Yeah,
like,
I remember when that trailer first came out.
Oh,
it was in front of something.
July,
I
think. It came out over the summer.
What is happening?
I looked it up back in July, and when that first trailer dropped, I'm like, are Sonics people available?
Right.
Because, I mean, literally that came out after the Sonic thing, pretty close to it. There's still time to fix this. Like, there's a studio doing it. We haven't seen it yet.
Could
but
have
like,
cleaned
it.
I don't know. Like, I just feel like Universal's like, just get rid of it. Just get it out. I don't care.
It should have never been released. This movie should have been held over till next year.
Yeah.
Maybe they wanted a tax write-off or something. You know how they lose money, but they'll...
I think they thought that it had a big enough following that they'd show up anyway and they'd eke out a win.
I just feel I hear what you're saying about the counter programming, but I feel like even at this point, don't release something against a Disney movie. Don't release something.
Bombshell bombed too, and that was the same week as Star Wars as well. And that's a good movie.
That's what I'm saying. I feel like Star Wars kind of transcends the...
Yeah, I feel like in this day and age where digital distribution is so easy, well, I guess if you release something a week early and they don't see it, then you could see it the next week. It could hold over, right? Could. So, like, I guess that's almost like VOD, or, like, why not drop it in theaters early?
Right.
But then again, I guess the marketing buzz of, like, its opening isn't around it the next week, right? So you've got to weigh those two things. But I'm with you. Like, I just at this point...
I feel like a Pixar movie... A Disney animation movie.
They overwhelm
Marvel
everything.
And Star Wars.
All social media, billboards, TV. Like, you know, you're inundated with whenever a Disney thing gets released. And, you know, I'm not saying pro monopolies, whatever. But the fact is, they're out there. You know when this stuff's coming out. And you don't hear about anything else.
Well, they've also built up a reputation.
Sure.
You know, like, anybody that decided to release something against Endgame was stupid.
Right.
You've got 12.
Well, that being the culmination of 23
movies. Right,
and that's why
I feel like episode 9, you know, The Last Jedi was. Like, The Rise of Skywalker.
Right, 42 years in the making.
Yeah, if we're ending the story, you know, obviously the Marvel stuff had a shorter time period to do it in.
But Greatest Showman came out in 2017.
That's also a great point.
Which was up against Last Jedi, right?
Yeah, and it got smoked. But then it turned around.
Right. Which is why I think they thought that they could pull it off. It's got a built-in fan base. And movies can play... They play off so much longer over the holidays.
Right. That's true. That's true.
You know?
So...
And I do feel like this holiday... I feel like this Christmas season, like this that week of Christmas, was inundated with stuff.
Yeah.
Like, there were a lot of releases where there aren't usually... I mean, I guess there are, but there's, like, one big one and then some sprinkled in some little ones. But this one was, like, Uncut Gems... this Star Wars, that
Bombshell, Little Women,
yeah. That animated
Spies
in Disguise. Like, there was just a lot of lot of stuff coming out in this time of year.
Sure. All right. So since there's not much more, I want to make sure that we at least touch on these characters. So Joe, I'd like you to use some word association as I read you the name of these characters.
Okay.
What do you think of when you hear these names and your memories come back from this movie? So you have Mr. Mistopheles, a meek magician.
Black and white.
Okay. You have Monka Strap, a loyal Scoutish cat. I'm guessing that's
actor that I feel like I should have known but didn't know
who
that's he was.
Who was that? He's one that I thought did a decent job. Like, he felt like he should be there. Tom will look it up. But he is someone you know. For
okay,
sure.
Okay.
But I think he's more like he has more of that Broadway credit to where you can tell
experience. Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Robbie Fairchild?
Robbie Fairchild.
No clue who
that is. He's a name. Can you see his?
No, I can't. It's not. This name is unclickable. So I don't think he's as much of a name as you think.
Okay. Well, fair enough. Yeah. But sorry, Robbie, that you're in this then. Okay. So you have. Jenny Anydots, a domestic tabby who boasts the productivity of mice and roaches.
Oh, Rebel Wilson.
Yeah.
Eh, fine.
Double skin.
Yeah, weird skin
outfit.
Suit.
I'm very confused there. The Rum Tum Tugger.
Which one was that? Oh, that's Idris Elba.
No.
No, that's Jason Derulo.
Who he's also like.
Unknown pop star. Forgotten pop star.
Rubbin Tug. Tugger.
If you heard the name for the first time, didn't know associated cats, if you heard Rum Tum Tugger,
I'd have been like, this is okie dokie. Well, I know what I'm in
for.
Think?
What kind of movie do you
Vivid
think?
Vivid Entertainment presents.
The porn parody starring the Rum Tum Tugger. Bustopher Jones,
Bougie.
A bougie cat who boasts about his weight and shares food from the garbage.
The most annoying late show talk host in the history of late show talk hosts.
Agreed. I liked him at first, and he's so oversaturated now where I just can't.
He's the worst.
But he's talented. He's just... Gus, an ancient theater cat.
Different movie altogether.
I like that movie.
Yeah, Magneto.
They should have made that movie.
Oh, my gosh. Could you imagine if Magneto was... No, never mind. I was going to say, have you seen the thing? This is it's kind of a side topic, but online, replace the whole cast with Muppets, keep one human.
I said Die Hard and keep Rickman.
Because we all know that the Muppet Christmas Carol is the best version of that story. Thank you.
Okay.
End of story.
Let's not go crazy.
But it works so
well. I think George C. Scott has something to say about
that's my favorite.
Well, no, he's dead.
Okay, that's fair.
But so, but a human.
He can come back and visit you on Christmas. Yeah.
But a human among the puppets, I mean, that's a great concept.
Yeah.
In theory, right?
Yeah,
when you execute it properly. Like, when you think of movies, like, someone says The Irishman, but keep Anna Paquin. Yeah, imagine her like interacting that. With all those Irishman Muppets.
So great.
And it's just her like looking condescendingly at all of them. I mean, if you think about it, like that is a $1 trillion idea. Someone also said Les Mis, but keep Hugh Jackman.
Yeah,
right. So anyway, I was just thinking about this movie. Who would you keep if you had to have one? Now, I know it's weird to say human, but one, let's say a human in actual makeup and a cat outfit, and the other ones are Muppets. Idris Elba.
Yeah.
Judy Dench.
I mean, yeah, that's fair.
Judy Dench with Muppets? That'd be pretty funny.
Yeah, pretty good. Yeah, that's a man.
I can just imagine, because I'm thinking about that terrible Melissa McCarthy puppet movie, but you know how it was crude and crass.
What the hell was the name of that movie?
Happy Fun Time Murders.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking of how they got kind of crude with that. Can you imagine the cats like lifting their legs, but like the leg is on one of those like sticks for the puppets, you know? So you see the sticks and everything. As they like if there was something like that
you know,
in this
you
movie,
would see the sticks because they would never have thought to CG them out.
Yeah.
At this, but, you know, given how this movie.
But if you think about it, if there were something likable in this movie to where there were little things like that that you would laugh at, but they're meant to be laughed at, like as a joke, like here's how bad, like these are puppets and they have sticks and stuff. Like if there were anything in this movie to grasp onto other than like laughing at it because it's bad, but true enjoyment, you know, it'd be different.
Sure,
but this movie is so void
of entertainment.
Yeah, of all of it.
Yeah. I tweeted the other day, congratulations to Halle Berry, who's no longer in the worst cat-themed movie ever.
As I'm sitting there, I was like, you know, I'd watch Catwoman again over this, like, easily.
They should have had these cats play basketball.
They should have, yeah.
How about Mungo Jerry and Rumpelteazer? I forgot about these two.
God, were the worst. This might have been, like, my most hated part of this movie. They were terrible. They're
horrible.
Yeah. And that's saying something.
But seriously, though, how many times, and again, catchy songs, Andrew Lloyd Webber, but like, hey, I'm Mungo Jerry, and I'm the Rumpelteazer. I'm Mungo Jerry. Hey, I'm the... Like,
I did
all
they
do is say their names.
Yeah. When they were like, you have to get...
They should have had Jason Derulo do that one.
Well, that's what... Yeah, that's what people are saying.
You have to get, like, three names. And I was like, why do they need three names? Why can't they just...
Because they're serial killers wearing suits.
Like,
and
why
occasionally shoes.
Why can't they just be, like, John and Mary and any other normal name? Like, Veronica.
So this
or
scene,
Victoria.
So Mungo Jerry and Rumpelteazer bring Victoria to this house to basically like screw it up and rob it and whatever.
And they blame it on the...
This is where these cowards, I want to see what a dog looks like in this world. They purposefully did not show the dog. You hear it bark, you hear them run away from the dog, and you see them shut the door on it. Cowards. Think about it. In this world where cats have human faces and all that, what does a dog look like? I would have loved to have seen...
Trump. I don't know, like the bulldog face. Oh. Like that's the.
But seriously, like, are these regular dogs? Are these humans in dog CGI? Like, I would love to.
It's a bipedal dog with a dick and balls, just like bouncing all over the place as he's walking away.
That was my one takeaway in the movie. This one more thing I actually wanted from this is I'm like, you idiot, you did not show it. Like,
that's true, they didn't. Yeah, yeah.
Purposefully hid the dog.
Yeah, so they're the word association, the worst.
Yeah, the worst.
Yeah.
You have Old Deuteronomy.
M.
Yeah. Grisabella.
Jezebella.
Snotty. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah, she's so much shit, she's full.
It's coming out her nose.
Coming out her nose, yeah.
Oh, wait, okay. Bombalorina, is that Taylor Swift?
Oh, maybe.
A new femme fatale feline?
Yes.
Is she not in the play at all?
Did they write us? They write
she
us.
She new.
I would say top build.
Because I don't remember. I haven't.
Yeah, she sings the song that introduces McCavity.
McCafferty. Yeah.
Okay, but so they.
But, I don't. I don't know.
I have like a '90s recording of cat. Like they put it out. It's a real.
No, because this is when I click on the. Bombalorina is the principal character in the Andrew Lloyd Webber musical Cats.
Okay.
It's like the main character in Cats.
Oh.
So that's weird. Okay. Yeah. So, Bombalorina?
Top build.
The
highest grossing act in this entire movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Growl Tiger.
Who's that?
Think about it. Growl Tiger.
Nope.
You don't know who they got to play Growl Tiger?
Oh. The Punisher. The guy who should have been the Punisher at some point.
I think that's it. And how about Jellicle Cats?
Useless.
That's Cats.
Yeah. And
send her to her death. And
they
everyone
did, yeah.
cheers. I was, like, this is another time where I had to laugh out loud because it's like, they're like, she did it. They're like Judi Dench after giving herself a, you know, tossing her salad for 30 minutes or whatever at the end, you know. Then they're like, I've made the Jellicle choice, and it is you, Crisabella. Surprise, surprise.
Well, they were gonna, it looks like they were gonna pick Victoria.
Well, right.
And Victoria's like, no. Take that one. Like, and she's like, no, I'm doing this out of the kindness of my heart.
I'm good, thanks.
This is like in the episode of The Simpsons when The Simpsons leave Springfield and everyone's like, we'll miss you. Great job. Congratulations. And they all party afterwards.
Right.
Like, they're all like, oh my God, Grisabella. They all like her now. They hated her before.
Sure.
Like her now.
Well, it's because she's saying memories.
Yeah. And then memory.
Whatever.
Singular.
Sure.
And don't make it longer than that.
That's fair.
And then after they're all like, yay, hooray, they send her to her death and it's and it ends. Like,
and like Idris Elba's like, no, kill me. Yeah. Kill me.
If only we could kill all of them.
If only.
Remember, I'm folks, have your film spayed neutered.
Yeah. Please. I'm serious about Idris Elba though. Like that dude.
Oh yeah.
I don't want to say he needs to get it together because he is always good in the things that he's doing, but he's in such bad stuff that he does need to get it together.
It's a tough one because I don't think he's good in this, but he's also working with life.
He's doing what he's,
the lowest,
right? Yeah. Right. I think he is on probation. Like, I'm serious. Like, he's dangerously close to
M. Night Shyamalan territory. Before
I don't disagree.
The visit.
Yeah, like, yeah, he needs to either get it together or take a break and do something. I don't know, but get it together.
Yeah. Well, Tom Hooper has done for Cats what George Lucas did for Ducks.
That's very true.
Bad.
It's real bad.
Yeah.
And it's not bad in an enjoyable way.
At least in Howard the Duck, he gets laid.
By Leah Thompson.
By Leah Thompson, yeah.
But that's the takeaway from this. If you've listened to this, and I know, like, I wrote a scathing review for it because I for the website, it is weird. No one else, not even Brad, wanted to go see this movie and review it. That's strange.
Here's the deal is in July, I said, nope. I'm not doing it. And I felt like I was okay. There was no talk about it. There was no, like, we should really do this.
Oh, yeah. We didn't bring it up on a weekly basis.
No, but no,
this
there
is
was no
like
talk.
A once in a generation bad movie. Yeah.
And then you two jerks threw that picture up on the Facebook thing, and it got more traction
and
than
it
I had any anticipation of.
You don't get movies this bad very often.
I know.
That's my point. Like, I wrote a scathing review, and then three people messaged me like within an hour and said, I want to see it more now, right? But like, this movie's so bad, it's not even, I can't even find that much fun like in hating it. You know what I mean? Like, it's not even so bad it's good.
It's so bad. Cat videos have stopped going viral.
Yes.
That's how bad it is.
They've switched to dog videos.
Yes.
Yeah.
But this is an unfinished, terribly edited, terribly crafted film.
This is the production cut of X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Yeah. Shaky claws.
Shaky claws.
This is truly, and I mean this truly, like, objectively, there's no even opinion here. Like, seriously, one of the worst movies of the year.
Easily. Oh, yeah. I think it's a tie between this and Black Christmas.
Some people think that people are being a little too hard that enjoyed it, and no offense, like what you like. I'm not saying that, but we're not being jerks, and the internet's not being jerks.
I think anyone who enjoyed this movie walked in with such love for the original that they just loved
it. Wasn't
it
going to matter.
On the screen.
Yep.
Like, I, again, you're welcome to enjoy it. Like, I don't, but I really think, like, you brought a lot of emotional investment to the film, and you're one of the few people that didn't walk out feeling betrayed.
Right. I agree.
I just feel like the last thing I want to say is I just feel it's hard because, like, you know, I've got a friend that liked this movie and he really likes Cats, and, you know, more power to him. Again, you like what you like, but the problem that I have is when he says everyone's being too hard on it and it's unfair and unjust and all that, because I feel like, again, trying to be as objective and professional as possible as far as things into consideration, like, this is that bad, and I don't think we're being unfair at all. Like, this is a garbage movie.
Oh yeah.
And it deserved so much better for the fans of the show, you know, Andrew Lloyd Webber, the Broadway cast, like anyone that's ever been involved with Cats, like, they deserve so much better than this to be a part of the legacy.
Yeah. I think there was a time when the sequels to horror slasher flicks killed that genre, and it's because they tried to pump them out as fast as they could without worrying about and sometimes you don't need a plot. Friday the 13th, you don't need a plot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like, if you're going to try to do a Saw movie and you try to retcon the movie before it, and that's your gimmick, and you just keep doing it and doing it and doing it, you're going to kill that genre. And it did for a long time until Blumhouse and James Wan came in and fixed it. This movie is on the level of killing the musical in theaters.
You don't get a lot of musicals anyway.
You don't. But non-animated. I mean, like, if it looks like you were going to get one a year, maybe.
But,
you know what I'm saying?
But,
like, you were getting
La La Land, Greatest Showman, but there was this resurgence.
There was that resurgence. Yeah.
And I feel like this does not do any favors.
No.
Damien Chazelle needs to come back, and I think
there is that. I just got the trailer for that Lin-Manuel Miranda
Into the Heights.
So, his first. That's what made him famous. That was a show that he wrote and acted in,
right.
And that's what put him on the map. So,
so
now
I feel like that. I mean, that looks like it's got some pedigree
West Side
behind
Story,
it.
Directed
yeah.
by Steven Spielberg.
Is that a thing?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
yeah.
happening.
Is it Ansel Elgort is the main guy?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Wait, is that Han Solo, or is that?
Oh,
the
maybe it's not
Baby
him.
Driver.
I'm sorry. It's Baby Driver. Which one's that? It's not Ansel Elgort. I can't remember. Maybe
it is.
I get those two confused.
Yeah.
It's Baby Driver. I'm pretty sure is the main character.
Got it.
And Ansel Elgort is
I think he's
Solo.
Han Solo.
So
yeah.
I'm blanking again. I don't know. Sometimes it's early in the morning. My brain dictionary doesn't work right. But whoever was Baby Driver, who was good. I mean,
yeah, Baby
Driver's
a good movie.
Yeah.
Kevin Spacey ruins that whole thing, but whatever. What is he thinking?
Oh, God. We don't even have time.
Wow.
It's so weird, especially with what happened right after
you
that video.
Yeah, right before the video.
Kill him with kindness.
Whoa.
And then, oh, hey.
Yeah, so it was like, that's a direct message to the Illuminati. That's what that was.
Yeah, it's Ansel Elgort.
Oh, it is Ansel
okay,
Elgort.
Okay,
good. No, Alden Ehrenreich is Solo.
Oh, right on. Come on.
You just made me completely go double guess myself, and
that's
I was right.
That's how I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So, Cat.
Hour of Suck with some extra stuff in there.
Yeah.
So, I feel like if we still count. Like we still
oh,
got
we had
hour,
so much side tangent
totally.
That yeah.
Yeah, so, don't go see it.
I don't think we were in danger of
no,
that
not now.
Yeah. So I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can follow the show online, Facebook.com/Real Spoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group, and of course, be sure and subscribe so you never miss an episode from wherever you're getting your podcasts. And check out our Patreon, patreon.com/Real Spoilers. $5 a month, all sorts of bonus content, and the joy of helping us out. So that's it for this one. Coming up next time, we will tackle Uncut Gems. Until then, Keanu has a rare disease that prevents aging. Fashion, I'd rather have grouse. If you put me in a house, I would much prefer a flat. If you put me in a flat, then I'd rather have a house. Set me on a mouse, then I only want to ride. Set me on a rat, then I'd rather chase a mouse. The Rotom Tugger is a curious cat. Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.